They say you got a chemical heart. To try to prove it different is the hardest part. They say it's on the tip of your tongue. You've been making up excuses since you were young. I don't wanna be your babysitter. I don't wanna be your 5 a.m. I don't wanna be your Jake LaMotta.
Hi, this is Aaron at Power Papaholic, and I'm talking with Jesse Malin. And Jesse's got a new LP on the horizon, and I just heard his new single, Backstabbers. How are you doing today, Jesse?
I'm doing good. I'm fighting the fight, trying to stay positive, and yeah, you know, crazy times in the world, but music can be medicinal. So
absolutely, absolutely. Now, I also know that you run a couple clubs in the city. I think one of my favorite clubs, the Bowery Electric, and Niagara and Berlin. How are you trying to solve the issues that people, you know, can't go to a live concert now, and you have a online concert series, The Fine Art of Self-Distancing? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I came back from a tour. I was in the middle of an album cycle for the record Sunset Kids, which is my latest record. We were supposed to be all over Europe and at Glastonbury Festival and all this stuff. And of course, you know, due to the pandemic, came home. And it was very dismal, and New York was, you know, like a ghost town here, mm-hmm. and everyone was freaking out, as they should be. And, you know, my management and my team just really urged me, like, you got to do something. And I was like, really? I'm going to become a cam girl and play to my iPhone in my apartment? And I did it. I told some stories, and, you know, I write these songs in this kind of sparse acoustic way. So it was kind of harking back to the origins of that you're in an apartment alone writing a song. And I just invited everybody in, and you know, we had some folks tune in from around the world, and you know, have a great fan base over these years. And it was cool, and they engaged. And then we started to do records, and each week, kind of give it a different theme, backstories, funny bits, and requests, dedications, and just try to make it full tilt. Like, you know, standing up in my living room with a microphone and just giving it that energy. Yet it's still a house thing, but so it's kind of like Mr. Rogers meets like a punk rock gig or something.
That's well put, well put. I thought your last album, you know, Sunset Kids, was just phenomenal. And I really liked the collaboration you have with Lucinda Williams. Is she going to be working on the next album with you at all?
We're not sure. I mean, she's pretty busy, even though people are stuck at home. She's got a lot to promote. She has a fabulous new record, you know, Good Souls, Better Angels. And I just think that, you know, she's probably, there's one song that's out now, this Backstabbers, that she worked on with us, her and her husband, Tom Overby. And that was like a song that we felt was for a different record, but it happened at the end of the Sunset Kids sessions. So I don't know. You know, we've done a few other songs with me and my guitar player, Derek, producing, and we've had a good time. But, you know, it was a magical experience to work with Lucinda and Tom, and they brought a lot to the table. And I'm real proud of that record. So you never know. We were on a boat, you know, out doing the Outlaw Country Cruise and talking about, like, the future. She was like, yeah, I want to do another record. But, you know, you got to take the time. These things are, I'm a big pain in the ass when it comes to making a record. It's, yeah, coming with all these songs. But you never know.
All right, cool. You really shine in collaborations, and I've noticed that throughout your career. I mean, when you're paired with somebody, you're really good at bouncing things off the other person. I mean, on the last album, I loved Strangers and Thieves, your collaboration with Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong. I mean, it seems like a natural pairing almost, the two of you together on that song. The other collaborations you had, collaborations with Bruce Springsteen in the past, as well as other people, you know, how do you work with another artist who, do you get them to see things how you're feeling and how you're vibing on a song versus, you know, do you do it at the same time, or do you both go to your separate corners and then come together and meet in the middle somewhere?
Well, usually I'll send one of these other artists a song. Like with Billy Joe, I sent him Strangers and Thieves, and it was going to be for another project that I did with Green Day a while back called The Rodeo Queens. And we had a song called Depression Times, and this was going to be the B-side. And it was something that was written late at night, real drunk. But I had, you know, a couple lines for the chorus and most of the melody and music. And then Billy and I took a walk around the city when he was in New York and just kind of showed him some of the old spots. I don't know if that triggered anything in his head. He went back to the Bay Area and just texted me out the rest of the lyrics. Most of it was his on the lyrics. And then, you know, I started singing it. I put it down, and we had an idea that maybe he should sing on it. So we sent it back out to him. and he sang on it. He's got a feeling in it. It fit very much what I was thinking about, maybe me talking to him a lot about the record or whatever, or just coming from a similar kind of connection, you know, him out west, me here on the east, but growing up in a punk scene and stuff like that, and that kind of outcast people you come across that are, you know, the music and the community of rock music becomes their family, and they come from broken places. So I thought he did a good job. Then he sang on it. And with Bruce, you know, it was the producer's idea. It was a song I wrote about my mom who passed away when she was 43 and I was 18, and she was a frustrated singer that sang in the car. And I just thought I was going to sing it, but the producer said, why don't you send this to Bruce, who had offered to do something on the record as we were making it, but I thought he'd just play guitar or something. And we sent it to him, and he said, yeah, I dig it. And, you know, so we went out to his studio in Jersey. We were in L.A., and we did an afternoon there. It was like a dream, and Kultzak, you know, just recording with him, and he just was there, and he's like, what do you think, Jeff? Do you like this? Is this cool? He was very humble, very giving to the song.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Very nice. I think it's just a testament also that you put so much of yourself in your writing, and you know, it's a long way from the old days of, you know, Generation D and, you know, the punk scene, and it's pretty obvious when you listen to it. But how do you think personally your writing style has changed a lot from when you were younger? You know, when you first started out as a solo artist.
You know, when you're writing for a band, it's like you're thinking about everybody in the band. It's a gang. You know, that kind of thing. It's different than, you know, when you write alone, it's very liberating. I love bands. I love the gang. I love the Five Musketeers Against the World. But, you know, when I made my first solo record, which is a while back, The Fine Art of Self-Destruction,
yep.
it was just like I could take my whole, you know, story and put it up there and be a lot more personal and not feel self-conscious. And I think with Degeneration and Heart Attack, my other bands, we're a lot like angrier, and or at least I was, at the world, and I was, you know, insecure, and it was a lot of reactionary stuff. And I'm still angry and I'm still insecure, but it's just a different way where these songs are more confessional, and there's something really liberating about that, you know, that they're really open and honest and sometimes painful.
Yeah, and I love the fact also that it's very much from the heart of New York, from where you live. I mean, another guy I interviewed recently, Willie Nile, he's also a big New York guy. He, like, lives and breathes the city, much like you do. And he just, you know, you just get the feel of New York listening to his music, and also on a lot of your tracks as well. When I listen to your tracks, particularly a lot of the ballads, you hear the, you know, downtown New York, you know, it just seeps in, you know. Tell me a little bit about, like, what's looking forward for you as far as songwriting and upcoming you know, works. I know you're working on a new album, and Backstabbers, is that like the first track, or is that like
moment, there's another single coming out in August called Todd Youth, about a musician that we lost to drugs, that was a good friend. He played with everybody from Motorhead and H. Freely and Danzig to Murphy's Law and Degeneration and my solo stuff, and he was a wonderful person, and he died way too young. There's a song about him and his ashes being put in Tottenham Square Park and the rest going to a holy river in India. And that's coming out, has a guest appearance from HR from Bad Brains on it, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's coming. But we have a video coming out next week for a song, Crawling Back to You, which is the B-side of Backstabbers. And we also, you know, when we're allowed to get together in a room, more than one of us, two of us, we're going to finish the record. It'll be early to probably, you know, 2021. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's a better time to go out and tour and play. And on the 22nd of May, it's Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be launching my new stream, which is going to be in my basement down here with a little bit more of a set. So it's going to be the Fine Art of Self-Distancing Season 2, and I'm excited about that, which is a show, and I'm going to have guests on it. Besides just playing my stuff, I'll be like you. I'll be interviewing other artists for, you know, a portion of the show. And
oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah. Let me hear more about that. Can you tell me, like, who, can you hint on who, what kind of guests you'll have?
Well, I haven't got confirmation, so it would be speaking too soon, but I've just been interviewing people recently, and I'm going to combine the shows. I did Mike Imperioli from The Sopranos. I had Bob Gruen, the rock photographer. I had HR from Bad Brains speak again. I have Dave Cashing from Queens of the Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal this Wednesday. The channel that Linda Perry set up called We Are Here. on YouTube. And so, yeah, I'm trying to think who else was on that. Brian Fallon from Gaslight Anthem, I have.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, well, I look forward to that. That's definitely something I can't wait to see that up online as well. And, you know, so, I mean, as far as the other, any other new things that you're kind of have your hand in at this point, are you also talking to other artists about, you know, who basically have had their club dates canceled and are looking to figure out a thing to do?
Try to raise money for the club, to try to keep the clubs in New York going. I have partners. I don't necessarily run them, but mm-hmm. conceptualize them with a few friends. And we don't want to see all the clubs in downtown New York lose because the rents are so high and because nobody's coming out and because of these new distancing rules, you know, obviously to survive and be healthy. It's very unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. And it's something that, you know, I'm fighting for every day, trying to come up with new ideas for when we can get a little closer together, if it's limited occupancy and we do more live streams, but setting up so they're more interesting and not just like a fucking, you know, guy moaning into his laptop.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. I also, I wanted to make one final comment on just your singing style and the style of your music, because I know a lot, you know, even though you're not, you know, necessarily a power pop guy, there's a few songs in your catalog that I would consider power pop. I mean, In the Modern World is definitely a power pop song, in my opinion. And there's a few others like that. And, you know, one of the things that I really liked about your approach is you kind of like in the middle between Neil Young and Paul Simon. You're sort of like, you're straddling those two universes, in my opinion, and I really enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun to listen to, and you know, all the honesty, like I said, and all the flavor of New York is relevant and in your music all the time, and I think that's going to come out also in your shows, in no matter where they are, whether they're in your basement or whether they're on stage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who I am and where I come from, I grew up with everything from AM radio like Elton John, Paul Simon, and Jim Croce to, you know, The Clash and The Ramones and The Bad Brains and Jane's Addiction. And of course, I love Neil Young and Crazy Horse. But yeah, I mean, you know, you write about where you're from and you hope that people can relate to it on a human level in other places. And I've been, you know, surprised at how small the world is when you travel. You have a suitcase and a guitar and you write these songs in your home and other people are singing them back to you. And, you know, it's always just one of the most beautiful things I've experienced. And from being a fan that, you know, people's songs, rock songs reached into me and said, hey, you're not alone. It's okay to be different. It's okay to feel, you know, weird and don't take it so hard. There's other people out there that are going through this. They might not be next door to you, but you can find them. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that is a great way to sort of close off this interview. Give me again, you know, where people will be able to find Sunset Kids and where how they can see your next basement concert, The Fine Art of Self-Distancing.
You can see Jesse Mallon Records, I guess, on iTunes, you know, and Apple Music, and also my website and Spotify. And you could also, you know, check in with the next thing. It's a live stream, May 22nd. It's a Saturday, and that's going to be on the YouTube channel, Jesse Mallon, my YouTube channel. There's usually a link in my Instagram, and it's at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Actually, it's Saturday, May 23rd. I correct it. Saturday, May 23rd, and it's at 4 o'clock. And, yeah, it's on my socials, blah, blah, the usual stuff.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you for the time. I appreciate talking with you, and we look forward to hearing more from you and listening to more of your music.
All right, Doctor. Thank you, man. Thanks for the support.
No problem. Take care.
Bye.